podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Berrigan Pod, part of the 1012 Podcast Network and partners with Sports Social Podcast Network. I'm Matt Workman, and as always, I'm joined by Joe Goodman. Joe, how are you doing this Tuesday evening?
You know, Matt, I could complain, but I won't.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I saw you this weekend.
Yes, I went to the Houston Rodeo where you were volunteering on Saturday, and had a couple of drinks
with you. It was nice.
We'll see this.
Always nice when the Berrigan gets to come together. You got skinny. Yeah.
I have lost a little weight. Yes.
Yeah, you got skinny. We were both the fat one, and now I'm just the fat one.
Well,
you look like you're about to be on the cover of Esquire or something. GQ's next big thing, Matt Workman.
Well, I do appreciate it. I wouldn't go that far, but yes, have been losing some weight. Yes, that's when you get my age, Joe. Like I'm 10 years older than you, so around there somewhere. Things start hurting. Things may have already started hurting for you. I think they probably started me around your age. So it's like you gotta do something. So yeah, but we had a great time. Saw the rodeo. My favorite part, I have to say, was the what's called. I don't remember what it's called. It's like the wagon race thing.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. Yes. The wagon race.
I thought that was dope. I've never seen that before.
Dude, it's sick.
I thought it was really cool.
Do you want to go down there and drive one of those things? Do you think you could do it? Control those
absolutely
horses?
Not. All I kept thinking was like I'm thinking about the boomer schooner like tipping over. On the football field, that's all I went through my head.
And they go so much faster than that.
Yeah, there's like more horses.
And they're taking like hard turns.
Yeah.
They drift.
I saw them.
It's like schooner drifts.
I was like, this is amazing. I could watch this all day. And then they came out and I was like, oh, there's another heat. I was excited. Like, we get more of this.
Did you watch the calf scramble?
I did watch the calf scramble.
Do you think you could catch a calf?
No, I don't.
Yeah, no, no way.
There's no way I can catch a calf. Don't you have to like put a harness on them?
Oh yeah, they have a rope and they tie them. They have to tie the rope the right way around their head and then get the calf into the square in the dirt. And it's not until they get the calf in the square that they win.
No, could not foresee myself doing that, not under any circumstance. But we stayed for a Brad Paisley concert, which was great. I had a good time.
He jams, man. He jams.
He does. And he, like, you know, he went on some solos and he was just like shredding on the guitar. And it's like, it's good. Had a good time.
Brad Paisley, excellent life.
I would say that. Absolutely. So, speaking of, like, they're having something in Waco for the total eclipse. Is it a total eclipse? Yeah. And like, Dwight Yoakam's going to play at the river, like, downtown Waco. So, I may try to go see some like Dwight Yoakam. So, but yeah, we had a good time. Did you get to go back with Teddy?
I did. I went Sunday again. Brought him. He made it through a few of the rodeo events, but then he wanted to go look at animals. So
yeah,
we went back over to the center and went to like the petting zoo and the rabbits and stuff like that. He wanted to go see those.
Quite honestly,
he was really into the rodeo for like I would say a solid 30 minutes, and then just as a 2-year-old, he like looked at his mom and was like, "Hey, I'm kind of ready to go. I want to go look at other stuff."
Which it's a honestly, that's a good call.
Yeah. He can only like sit and focus on things for so like getting 30 minutes out of him to like sit in a stadium chair and look out and watch horses. Like he was really into it. But then after a while, he's like, I have to go be active now. So you can either take me somewhere or I'm going to cause problems.
So here was the most entertaining thing for me for the rodeo. Where we were sitting, we were kind of, up pretty high. People would kind of go down to go to the restroom or go get drinks or food or whatever. And it was dark during the concert. They put the lights down.
Mm-hmm.
The way the steps are, they have like yellow paint. So, you know, like, here's the steps. But the last step, they have black paint. And, like, people would miss it and, like, trip and stumble. And I watched that the whole time. I was like, oh, we got more people coming. What's going to happen? I mean, that was the most entertaining thing probably that I watched during the rodeo was people tripping on this last step.
Matt is into slapstick comedy.
It was hilarious. I'll have to say, like, then you'd see people that hit it and they're like, you know what? That person, like, is always aware. That's, you know, that's the type of person you want on your team. It's like the guy who, like, realizes there's another step.
That's a dude that can ride a bull.
Yes. So I have to say, like, a lot of them were drunk, so maybe they were impaired, so maybe they weren't didn't have all their faculties, but it was quite entertaining to watch the
Yeah, dude, the
stumbling of
rodeo is
adults
a
stumble.
70,000 person party.
But
It's
yeah, they mentioned there's like 71,000 people there. I don't know how many more were just on the grounds and didn't go to the rodeo, so it was packed. We left, went had to go through the carnival, and it was like this like
Dude, yeah, there are people that
jam
just
packed with
come,
people.
like, they're like at any given moment at the Houston Rodeo, there's 150 to 200,000 people on the grounds.
That's what I was saying. I was like, there's probably 30,000 more people outside, not in the rodeo, and there's 70,000 people in here.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah. I am both happy and sad that it's over.
Yeah.
My legs are happy that I'm not walking miles upon miles a day, and my
Yeah.
sleep schedule and my liver are all feeling much better now as well.
I bet. I bet. Yeah, I did my like little. I looked at my pedometer thing on my phone for Saturday to see like how many steps did I take that day. It was a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of walking.
A lot of walking.
But
It's
yeah.
easy walking though, because like you feel you
Yeah.
have like places to go and you're surrounded by stuff to look at, so you don't even realize like how much you're walking.
But you're all wearing boots, so. Or I was anyway. Most people were.
Yeah, I was in. I mean, I wear boots all the time, so.
Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, it's fun. Gonna go back. Probably gonna make a plan to go back next year.
Excellent.
But yeah. But Joe, we
So,
have sports to talk about.
yeah, non-horse sports.
Non-horse sports, yes. But so I don't know if you're aware, but today was the start of spring football for Baylor.
I wasn't aware until you told me before we started recording.
Yeah, so I mean it's the first day, so there's not a lot of information. There was a couple of new points of interest. Some unfortunate news, nose tackle Drell Boykins medically retired from football. This is according to like Grayson Grunhafer. He tweeted out from Sikkim365. So that is disappointing. That was a, you know, he was hurt, I think, most of, if not all of last year, kind of never really got back into the groove, which kind of contributed to some of the struggles, probably, because I think they had two nose tackles that got hurt. So yeah, we were already, it's already like a little bit of a questionable position, and now it's even more questionable. So I would assume that this would be addressed like after spring transfer portal opens back up. So try to get someone in to like for some depth or even like a starter. I don't know. The only other thing is they released like the spring roster, so you kind of get like without having like announcements or anything like that, you get, you know, what kind of attrition that we weren't made aware of. And the only one that I really saw was Mario Noel not on the roster. And he was a, I want to say he was a part of the secondary that he wasn't a starter, but he saw time. And so I guess he moved on to other opportunities.
Yeah, you know, it's we were kind of expecting to see something like this, but I'm honestly more glad to see that we've got a good decent level of stability.
Yeah.
It's not like there was a bunch of dudes who were gone. It's not like there's any surprises really that
No.
We had in there. Like,
No. We didn't lose a lot.
it's tough at the interior defensive line though, because it was already one
Yeah.
of our weak spots. So losing a
Yeah.
player there, this at this point in the game, but he's medically retiring. So it's like, I'm happy he's doing what is best for him, his long-term health and his body. Like, he's making the right choice.
Yeah. I think he got hurt in after spring or during spring last season and just never could get back to that level. And I guess it was, you know, kept on getting re-injured. So it's kind of one of those things, like you said, you know, for the best for him and his body and his health, just to like, I don't know if he's going to take a break. I don't know if he's just going to stop playing football. I don't know. But he's not going to play for Baylor. Maybe he'll get his degree and can kind of like recuperate, rehabilitate, and move to another opportunity. But yeah, sucks, but happens.
Yeah, it does indeed. Matt, it's the start of spring football, like you mentioned. What is the biggest thing that you're looking for? Like, what do you hope to learn? Is there, what news do you hope to get? What insights do you hope to garner?
Well, I mean, I would love to see some type of growth on the defensive side. I don't know if we're going to really glean much from spring with that regard, because the defense looked great last spring. So it didn't, you don't really know. I am interested in how the offense looks.
I was going to say, my number one thing is all of the articles that will inevitably come out over the next couple of months that tell us that Daquan Finn is the real deal and he's amazing and we're all going to be excited. And it doesn't, like,
I think
there's no shot that we're going to see anything that says anything negative. I think everybody's going to be super high on him going in, but I'm still going to be very cautious going into the fall of like what I expect to see, because I've been told for years now.
You may write some of those articles.
Yeah, you're probably right. I will. I think that's the biggest thing that I'm looking to hear about is kind of what does Finn and Spavital's combination look like, especially compared to what we've seen in the past couple of springs offensively, because complete revamp of the play style.
Yeah.
And you brought in one of the biggest transfer names that was on the market at quarterback.
Complete revamp. Like you said, the play style, the offense, everything is going to be completely different than what we've seen the last 3 years.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting. I would love to see some growth and from the wide receiver room. We got a lot of people returning, so you know, we need to see players like make strides. Amani Winfield, players like that. Of course, continued growth, Ketron Jackson. We want to see those guys like step up, you know? Because
this should be the next era.
Didn't receivers have like two touchdowns last year?
Maybe that.
Wide receivers accounted for two total touchdowns all year. So
yeah,
that's a problem. Ridiculous. And I don't foresee that being the case in this offense. At least it shouldn't be.
It shouldn't be. That's the key.
Also want to see the makeup of the offensive line. But I think this offense takes a little bit off of the offensive line's shoulders. Because even Spavital said in his introductory presser, he's like, you don't have to be perfect in our offense on the O-line, you know? Because it's designed that way. So, yeah, looking forward to the offensive scheme and how it looks, how it's changed, and how we can adapt our personnel to that scheme. And then, yeah, of course. Matt,
that's the football talk. But
that's football.
It's March 19th. Let's give the people what they want.
All right. We're going to start with women's basketball. So
WBB,
women's basketball. So Baylor women, as we all knew, they were going to get a bid to the NCAA tournament. They did. They ended up with a 5 seed. Let me pull up their bracket. So they are a 5 seed in the, I guess, Portland region, or Portland 3. They are going to start off playing in Blacksburg, Virginia. They are going to play the winner of the Vanderbilt-Columbia game, which is earlier, sometime this week. I don't know. It may be going on right now. But they will play.
It happens tomorrow at 8 8 p.m. Central Time on ESPNU.
Okay. All right. So they will face the winner of that team and that at, I guess, 5 p.m. on the 22nd on ESPNU. And, yeah, they're in a – I mean, looking at their bracket, what do you think about the draw that they received?
I dig it.
Yeah, I kind of do,
It's
going to
be tough in that you're in the Blacksburg region and you have – you know, so you're going to be facing off – your four seed is going to play you at home if you win your first round game in a 5-12 trap game. That said, I mean – I've watched Virginia Tech actually play this year. They don't really scare me all that much. I think Baylor can beat them. And as we all like, Baylor can beat anybody in the country when they're shooting well.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, you know, if you look at USC compared to South Carolina or Iowa, they don't scare me as much as either of those one seeds in being in their bracket. And Texas was the other one seed who we already beat this year.
Yeah.
So,
without
I think you've
one
got
of
a beatable
players,
one
though,
seed.
So.
And then Ohio State, the two seed. I don't really trust the Big Ten all that much outside of Iowa. So you've got, you know, Ohio State there. I think it's probably likely if Baylor makes any kind of run, they're going to end up playing UConn, which will be really cool.
Cool.
And Geno, of course, is always scary. But this is not, you know,
UConn
of 10 years ago.
Yeah, that you grew up with. Yeah, for sure.
So I think, you know, there are big names in this bracket and there is going it's not going to be an easy bracket. But when you're the five seed, I think they lucked out with the one seed that they got. I think that, you know, if you're going to play on the road, they got, I think, a beatable Virginia Tech team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if Baylor plays like they are able to play and they play, you know, their version of basketball and they go out and they fight hard. And the shots are falling, they're going to beat anybody that's in this bracket.
Yeah.
And as I've told you, like, I think the only teams that, like, there are two teams that legitimately scare me in the country in women's basketball, where I'm like, if we were to face off against this team, I would just say there's zero hope. And that's South Carolina and Iowa. So,
yeah,
we did not draw them in either our bracket. So there is a path to the Final Four for this team.
Quite honestly, I think it's like, to me, it's like, this is South Carolina to lose.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
the championship
even
South Carolina.
Iowa's lost four games. You know, Texas is the other one seed.
Yeah, South Carolina is lost four games. Holo undefeated. 32-0.
USC's 26-5. UConn's lost five games this year, and South Carolina's sitting here 32.
Texas is 30-4. South USC, like you said, 26-5. So it's like, it's South Carolina is like the best team in the country. Like, without a doubt. And probably head and shoulders. Final four, I'm going to go South Carolina, and I'm going to go with Iowa. Put me on a spot. I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to say Baylor. How about that?
Okay.
And Utah.
Utah. All right. Interesting.
And that's just – that's just
Can Baylor beat this year?
Yeah, that's why I said it.
I'm going South Carolina and Iowa as well, 2-1 seeds. I'm also going to be a homer and pick Baylor because it's a Baylor podcast. Of course,
Baylor.
But my out of the Portland 3 or Portland 4 region is going to be Stanford. I'm going to have Stanford as my.
That's probably better than mine. So but
mine is South Carolina, Iowa, Baylor.
I was put on the spot, and that's what I saw.
I panicked and picked Utah.
So
they have an amazing.
I kept it, you know, Big 12 feature, Big 12 centric. So
I mean, Utah has that amazing post player, and sometimes in the tournament, if you got just a dominant post, especially in women's basketball, that can take you a long way.
Yeah.
So Utah's not a crazy pick.
So yeah, so like you said, it's March, and we got full coverage here on the Bearden Pod for both women and men's basketball.
And we'll have a special treat later this week.
Special treat for loyal listeners. We'll get something.
You're going to get a bonus episode of Bearden later this week. We won't spoil the surprise, but we probably will on Twitter. But once we get it finalized, we will let everybody know on Twitter. But we have something cooking for Baylor women's basketball.
For sure.
For sure.
Because if anything, you can say about the Brandon Pod. We are pro women's basketball.
Nikki Collin is a fan. She's a
good friend of the show.
Amazing friend of the show, Nikki Collin. She liked one of our tweets one time.
Some might say best friend. I don't know.
Yeah. That's but what anyway, a, that's what a tweet like means.
People are saying. People are saying, I'll be like Trump. People are saying that, she's our best friend. So I'm just. I didn't say it. I'm just saying, people are saying.
She's a day one listener. I've heard it.
Yes.
Now, Matt, if somebody from Baylor, all right, say a big time fan of the Baylor women's basketball team, all right, wants to go watch this run start, they got their tickets, they're flying out to Virginia, they're going to go to Blacksburg, but they just don't know what to wear. What would you tell them to do?
Well, I would tell them to go over to charliehustle.com. That's right. This podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate and hometown apparel. And they want you to be the best-dressed fan this season, so be sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel and show off your school spirit all season long, which isn't long because it's the tournament time. They have only 30 schools to choose from, so they got you covered with all your collegiate apparel needs. You can go to charliehustle.com and pick out your favorite look today. And make sure you use promo code 101215, which is good for 15% off all non-sale items. That would be TEN1215 for 15% off those non-sale items. Joe, you ordered from Charlie Hustle recently. Did you get your stuff in yet?
I did. So what was Sunday? Or yeah, Sunday, Matt.
Sunday.
What was Sunday? Was St. Patrick's Day.
17th.
Yes, St. Patrick's Day. I had ordered my green Baylor Sick and Bears tee, and that is what I wore for St. Patrick's Day.
There you go.
It was very comfortable, fit nice, soft. I legitimately own multiple Charlie Hustle shirts, and I love them. They are great shirts, especially like I say this talking, you know, this doesn't matter as much to you anymore as a skinny guy, but as a big guy, the fit that their shirts have, it's nice. Like it's not form fitting. And I like that. I don't think anybody wants to see me in form fitting clothing. So I really, really do like the fit that Charlie Hustle has, and the material is light. It's soft. It's going to be a great summer shirt. Great summer shirt.
For sure. And it's, like you said, a good fit, soft, good against your skin.
Excellent prices, plus you get a discount with 10, 12, yeah. 15. What are you
waiting
for?
Who doesn't want 15% off? Who says no to that? No one.
And there's a new hoodie.
Yeah. And what I like about them.
They have a gold hoodie now.
You know, like I said, they're based in Kansas City, very in on Big 12. So go support Charlie Hustle. They support the Big 12. Obviously, you're a Big 12 fan listening to this show. So, yeah, check it out. They got some great shirts, no matter who you're a fan of. So, charliehustle.com. Vintage. Made fresh. All right, Joe. We covered the women. Now we have the men's tournament.
The men's tournament.
March Madness. Men's Division I basketball. Baylor is the 3 seed out of the West region. They will face off against Colgate Friday at 11:40 on True TV. So what do you think
off
about
against some toothpaste?
I'll tell you what. The best tweet I saw was our friend Peter. And I had to kind of read it twice because I was like, what are you talking about? But then I got it because it was like, all he tweeted was, I'm more of a Crest guy or something of that meant that tone. And I was like, what? Then I thought about it for a second. I was like, oh, that's a good tweet. I appreciate it.
So yeah. I have a one fun fact about Colgate.
Okay.
That I don't think a lot of people know. Do you know what Broken Lizard is? You do.
I don't remember, but I think I've heard it.
So it's the guys that did Super Troopers, Beer Fest,
Yeah, yeah, absolutely know who that is. Yes,
those guys. All right, so their comedy group is called Broken Lizard. So when you
don't they do like a firefighter show now?
I think yeah, Tacoma FD.
Tacoma
that
FD,
is correct. Yeah. They do. I've always loved these guys. yeah, like Club Dread. What else do they do? They've done it. They've done a lot of things. But yeah,
Super Troopers is so. I love Super Troopers so much.
Yeah, it was a perfect movie at a perfect time for like my age when it. Yeah, it's. And I can still go back and watch it. It's stupid, but I love it so much.
It's still hilarious.
Same with Beer Fest.
It's still hilarious.
I love Beer Fest too. So
Brian Cox is in Super Troopers.
Yeah.
From Succession is in Super Troopers. It is hilarious.
So them, the Broken Lizard guys, Barva and everybody.
Yeah.
They met as college students at Colgate University. And that's where they started their little group and started doing their comedy shows.
So they're Ivy League.
Colgate, I don't believe, is an Ivy League university.
No, you're right. It's Patriot League.
Yeah, yeah. I think Colgate's just a normal liberal arts school. Because they play like
Lafayette and all those schools up in the Northeast that are not Ivy League, but small schools regionally.
They do have a $1 billion endowment. I just went to their Wikipedia page. Hold on. But yeah, I've always loved that the anytime I hear Broken Lizard or anytime I hear Colgate, I'm like I immediately think of Super Troopers.
Yeah, so, I got Ivy League on my brain because I think Yale just won. Right? Man, I'm tripping. No, Howard just won. Howard beat Wagner.
So I'm looking at their famous alumni, Ben Cohen, co-founder of Ben and Jerry's.
There we go. Bunch of libs. There we go.
Andy Rooney from CBS in 60 Minutes went to Colgate.
When it was founded?
His student number was one.
That's the old guy. He's old as a child.
The current president and CEO of NBC Universal and the former COO of Comcast, Steve Burke, went to Colgate.
There we go. Yeah. There's your Colgate Minute here on the Bear Den Pod.
Your Colgate Minute. So we're glad that we get to see Colgate as we send them off after their first round loss in the NCAA tournament.
Now they are 25-9 on the year. Baylor is 23-10. Granted, they played in the Big 12 and Colgate plays in the Patriot League, but you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I foresee Baylor should get past Colgate relatively easily.
Yeah, Colgate lost to Yale by 18. They lost to Illinois by almost 30. They lost to Iona by 20. They lost to Cornell by 13. They lost to Lafayette, not UL Lafayette, just Lafayette University by 5. And then they went on a crazy run in the Patriot League, losing.
Did they lose to Lehigh, or how Lehigh? No,
they beat Lehigh by twice, both times by 3 points.
So the only two Lafayette or Patriot League schools I know is Lafayette and Lehigh.
So
verbal.
They only had two conference losses, and they were to Lafayette and to American.
Oh,
whatever that is. So yeah, but they're. When they have faced, they only beat Brown by 2. They only beat Gardner Webb by 7. They only beat Weber State by 2. They lost to Harvard. They lost big time to Arizona, as you'd expect. But I mean, in their last like 20 games, they're like 19-1, something like that. So they're on a streak. They're not a bad basketball team, but they're 269th, Matt. 269th in points per game.
Well, they're going to try to slow it down.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. If you're going to beat Baylor, you're going to need to score.
Yeah, and especially, hopefully, if Baylor's like hitting shots that, you know, like they're on, like you're not going to beat them. You're not going to be able to slow them down because they're When they're shooting, when their shots are dropping, like they're almost, we talked about this before in the pod, like Baylor's such a, they have such a strong like juxtaposition of what their outcome could be. So like absolutely they could lose in the second round, but at the same token, they could be in the Final Four
Yes.
because that's the type of team they are. They're just erratic at times, and so if they come in on a heater, yeah, you're not gonna beat them.
I will say this. There is one player that that Baylor seriously needs to pay attention to
Okay.
on this team. Now their leading scorer is a kid named Braden Smith. He plays guard for them. But the guy that I'm actually going to call out doesn't play a ton of minutes. He averages 11 minutes a game, which is egregious to me.
This feels like some Joe shit we're about to have, so.
But he's made the third most three-pointers on this team with playing 11 minutes a game, Matt. He's
That
40 of
says
8.
so much about this team that
Well, he's made 40 of 87. His name's Chandler Baker. He shoots 46% from 3. So if there's a guy that I'm saying watch out for, don't lose this dude. It's
you don't
100% going
want
to be.
Chandler Baker to be like you're like, was it Georgia State who like,
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't need him being the Yale game or the Georgia State game,
Or Creighton last year, they couldn't miss a three.
So of their top 5 minute getters, all right, yeah, the Braden Smith, Ryan Moffitt, Keegan Records, Brady Cummins, and Nicolas Louis-Jacques. I believe how you would pronounce that name. Those are the only players on the team that average 20 or more minutes per game. Not a single one of them shoots 40% from three, but three of them shoot over 36. So you got one at 36, one at 38, one at 37.
Hold on.
So it's a team that can put it down from three. You
How
so you
many threes did you say they made?
so let's see. Braden Smith, he's their leading scorer. He's made a total of 50 this year. Ryan Moffitt, who plays forward for him, he's also their second most minutes. He has made the most threes on the team, 65, but he shoots 37%. So he's 65 threes out of 175 attempts this year. Their second leading scorer. So those two guys you're gonna have to watch out for. But I'm telling you, Chandler Baker, if he gets on that court, they got to watch him. He doesn't miss. 40 of 87 from three this year. That's a crazy amount.
How many threes do you think Baylor has made this year?
Okay, well, hold on. Let me look at their team total. So
Who's
Colgate has made
their leading 3-point shooter?
okay, so just held this note, 267 total three-pointers for Colgate this year. Baylor, give me one moment and I will tell you. Total threes this year, 279.
Oh, okay. Not so not a big
So
disparity.
Jacoby Walters made the most. He's made 69 threes this year, and he shoots at a 34% clip. Can you guess who's made the second most threes on the team this year?
I'm gonna
With
go
just.
with none.
Jaden Nunn
Yeah.
has made the third most
Third
threes on the
most.
team this year.
So the second most threes, I'm gonna, it's not none, it would have to be Bridges.
Jalen Bridges. So Jacoby Walters made 69. Jalen Bridges has made 67 three-pointers this year out of 167 attempts, giving him a 40% three-point
I would
percentage.
say Baylor has to have like overwhelmingly attempts, just like dwarfs Colgate's attempts.
Oh, that's going to be the game. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like you're not going to walk in here being the 269th scoring team in the country
Yeah.
and expect to walk away with a win. It's just. You're going with Baylor, even if you hold them, you slow the game down, you do everything, like you're going to need to score. Baylor is the 38th best offense in the country this year, just in points per game.
Yeah.
Not efficiency, none of that. Just in points per game, Baylor's 38th in the country to Colgate's, I believe it was 269th. So,
Yeah.
and then you factor in the difference in athletes. This is not a barn burning, deadly team offensively that we're facing here that can come out there and kill you. There are a couple of guys that I mentioned that can fill it up from behind the arc. But they would need to have all career games
The thing is,
combined with
like, Baylor doesn't defend the three well, so.
Baylor didn't really defend anything well.
Oh, yeah, but especially the three. And so, like, the problem has been if a team comes in and they're just, like, on one, hitting threes, like, if and Baylor's not, like, it's a tough road to hoe at that point.
True, but I do not think Colgate has any opportunity to play at the pace that they'll need to score enough.
Yeah, you would think. Yeah, I would agree. That's what you'd think in this match.
No, that's what I know. I'm putting 100% on Baylor winning this game. I'm not worried about an upset whatsoever.
So yeah, so if Baylor gets past Colgate, they would face the winner of New Mexico and Clemson in the second round. And maybe I just don't know much about college basketball, but I would think that'd still be you're on a similar trajectory as the Colgate game, a little bit uptick in competition for sure. But I would still think you would favor Baylor in either one of those matchups.
Yeah, Baylor's a three seed for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, that's kind of like the overall draw. The only thing you get past that, then you're probably going to face off against North Carolina.
Yeah, I would say similar to what I said about the women's bracket, this is my, out of all the one seeds that we could have landed with, we landed with the best one.
I'm sorry. I'm looking too far ahead. Arizona is.
Well, yeah, Arizona's the two Arizona, seed that you would face to get to the Elite Eight. Yes.
So that'd be like Sweet 16 would probably be Arizona if it's going chalk that way.
Yeah, I am very happy with drawing North Carolina as our
me too.
As our one seed. I don't think we drew the weakest two seed.
In fact, I got them being upset.
Who?
North Carolina.
Gotcha.
Early. Before they even get to the Elite Eight.
Dora, we would face them.
Yeah.
I think the weakest two seed's probably Tennessee. And we got Arizona, which I look at as the strongest two seed. So we got, I think, the weakest one seed, strongest two seed.
Iowa State, pretty strong.
We could Iowa
we've
State.
We've beaten Iowa State.
We have.
Bears beaten Iowa State. But it, they also the got beaten
Iowa
by Iowa
State's going to play harder than anybody on the court. But there is no individual on that team that scares me. That's the one thing about them. And it's not, I'm not dissing them.
As,
I think it
as
actually
a team,
proves how good of they are.
They play
as a
well
team.
As a team. But yeah, but, you're absolutely correct. But I mean, I would say that I would almost say the same thing about Baylor.
No, I am scared. I would be so
scared
of Walter.
He's inconsistent, or has been.
He
season.
Is, but he has the ability to go off at any
absolute,
moment.
Yes, absolutely. So
as does Ray J. Dennis, as does Jaden Nunn. There are, I don't,
I would say, like, even Missy has had moments where, like, you can't stop him.
True, but the difference is like, Missy can't do it alone. He
no,
needs,
no, no.
He needs no. a, he needs a partner in crime. Whereas Jacoby Walter, I mean, we've seen that guy just fully just the switch
absolutely.
Flips he can, and he's unstoppable.
Yeah. He's a shooter. I mean, yeah, absolutely. So there's eight Big 12 teams that got NCAA bids that tied with the SEC also got eight. How do you think the Big 12 fares in the tournament?
I think the Big 12 fares very well. I have two Big 12 teams in my final four. And I think we'll see another Big 12 team make it to either the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. One downside to the Big 12 is going to be in the Midwest bracket, and that's Kansas. They're going to be without Kevin McCullough, which, in my opinion, opened up some craziness in that bracket for how I think my final four is going to go.
Well, I'll just say it. I have, like, Samford beating Kansas in round one.
I don't have something that crazy happening. They still have better tickets.
And I have McNeese beating Gonzaga. So I have, like, a second round game of Samford and McNeese.
So you're going full Will Wade, I see.
Dude,
I'm the opposite.
They lost 23 games last year, and he has them 30-3.
Correct. They're very good for who they are, and I think
Gonzaga's
they'll give Gonzaga
not Gonzaga
a tough game. But here's the deal: Gonzaga played a lot better basketball down the stretch. I know they lost their conference tournament to St. Mary's, but still. Gonzaga went through a rough stretch in the middle of the season where it was like, whoa, who is this team? They got their stuff back together. Mark Few's still an amazing coach. Kansas, I think they're going to beat McNeese. I think Kansas beats Stanford, and I think Gonzaga then beats Kansas.
Samford. Moving,
yeah, I said Samford.
Okay, I said Stanford.
No, Samford. And then I have no faith whatsoever in Purdue.
But is Dickinson playing? I know McCullough's out. Like that's
yeah. Confirmed. I think Dickinson's playing.
But they already have depth problems. Kansas down their best player,
Matthew Workman. Kansas is not losing to Samford. I will bet you $10 right now.
I got it. I got it on my bracket already.
Cool. So here's what's going to happen. Gonzaga is going to beat Kansas in the round of 32. Then Gonzaga is going to beat Purdue in the Sweet 16.
Dude,
and
you're smoking some. Crack.
The two seed in this bracket, Matt, is not going to make it to the Sweet 16 because it's Tennessee, and Tennessee's garbage.
Dude, I got Tennessee in the Final Four.
What?
Yeah. Tennessee's in my Final Four.
You picked Rick Barnes to make the Final Four?
Yeah.
What are you? You think I'm crazy for Gonzaga? No, Gonzaga's going to the Final Four in this bracket is what I have. That's what that is all
crazy.
That to say.
That is
I have Gonzaga in the Final Four. Who is your Final Four?
I have UConn. And Houston and Tennessee and your Baylor Bears.
All right. So you got two of them right. you got two of them right. So my Final Four is also Houston. As I said, I have in the South, I have Gonzaga in the Midwest. I'm also going to be a homer boy and take Baylor in the West. And then I have a four seed Auburn coming out of the East. Uh-huh. So my final four.
I like that. I do like that pick. I have Auburn going pretty far. I don't have him in the Final Four, but.
My Final Four is, Auburn,
I think
Baylor.
I have Auburn losing to UConn, I believe, if I'm looking at it right. If I'm looking at it correctly. You have them losing to UConn in the Sweet 16.
I like the way Auburn's playing right now.
You know what I got? You know what my favorite thing is? And this is only – I don't know if I really believe this. I want it to happen just for narrative's sake. I have Grand Canyon making it to the Elite Eight against Baylor to have, like, a Drew on Drew.
Bryce Drew versus Scott Drew
in the Elite Eight to go to the Final Four. That's what I got. And that's only because I'm trying to manifest it into existence.
Hey, 29-14.
I mean, they're a good team. I mean, I think they're going to make it out of the first weekend.
You think they're beating St. Mary's?
Yeah, I think they're beating St. Mary's.
Like, legitimately think they're going to beat
St. Mary's? Yeah, like, I legit think they're going to beat St. Mary's.
Oh, man.
That's one of the, yeah, and now I think they're going to beat Alabama in the next round.
All right,
I think they're a good team. I'm a Drew Homer, pun intended.
I think my 12-5 is going to be James Madison over Wisconsin, and then I may pick another.
I got that one too. I got James Madison winning too.
And I think UAB over San Diego State wouldn't surprise me.
I think I have James Madison making it to the Sweet 16.
Oh, man. Look at you. You're going for the crazy bracket.
Hold on. I gotta look at it. So I have him beating Wisconsin, and I have him beating Duke. So I have him in the Sweet 16 against Houston. Yeah. I got a lot of upsets, more than I normally do.
Hey,
mostly because I think James Madison's a good team.
You throw enough of them at the wall, how you get to be the guy that says, I picked that one.
James Madison's 31-3. McNeese is like 30-3. I mean, they're like, these are good teams. They're not like scrubs. They're just like, got lucky and won their like conference tournament.
And they're not bad. That's why they're there.
They're there. So, yeah. But. Yeah, I have two of four, my Final Four Big 12 teams. I almost went three. I think my homeboy, Scott Spainsmith, he went like three of four Big 12 teams. So I'm guessing he has like Iowa State is the only thing I could think of. In the
Probably.
East, going to the Final Four. Against Baylor. And then Houston and then whoever. But yeah.
Who do you think? I have a question for you. All right, hold on. I have to figure this out. How many Power 5s or Power 6 in college basketball? How many Power Six teams do you think McNeese played this year?
Two.
One.
One.
And they won it. They beat a really bad Michigan team.
Yeah, I mean, basketball is a different animal. Because you can be
you know
a good
their
basketball
losses are
team. They're three losses. Who?
They lost to Western Carolina.
Powerhouse.
Louisiana Tech by double digits.
You don't want to. You don't go to Ruston and win.
And Southeastern Louisiana.
Do I even guess anything?
Huh?
Do I guess anything? You're going to go to.
I mean, that's true. No, you don't simply walk into.
You don't Hold go to on. Hammond, Louisiana and win.
Yeah. I mean, Southeastern Louisiana, they're 9-3. 9-13 this year. 4-5 in conference. They played 9 conference games. 9-13 on the season. Oh my God. The it was on the road and I can see the highlight, and there is like some people at this game.
Is that Southeastern?
Yeah,
Great nursing school.
There are a handful
Shout
of
out
folks.
To
the official attendance listed is 1,043.
Lions, maybe?
They are the Lions. That is correct. The Southeastern Louisiana Lions. Yeah, they
You know, he used to be the head coach there. The football
who?
Team. One Ron Roberts.
That's right. Yes, he was.
So
they were McNeese's one conference loss this year. Anyway, that's our final fours. Now, Matt, those are your picks. Those are my picks.
For
I'm
sure.
Gonna tell some folks. What if you want to make your own picks, guys? Let's talk once again about our awesome 10-12 sponsor, Prize Picks, the best legal way to play daily fantasy on player props all over the country. Prize Picks, daily fantasy made easy. All you have to do is select 2 to 5 players and an over-under on a projected stat line, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. It's fast, it's easy, and entries can be made in as little as 60 seconds. They offer tons of sports, but right now, let's focus on March Madness, man. Get in there. Have some fun with it. Plus, NBA starting to wind down, getting to the playoffs. Major League Baseball is about to start off. But yeah, man, college basketball, this is the time. If you use promo code BEAR12, that's BEAR12, you can get an instant 100% deposit match of up to $100. That's right, promo code BEAR12, and you can instantly get a full $100 match on your first deposit. Prize Picks is available online in the App Store and on Google Play, so go check them out.
Yeah, I did a price pick for college basketball. I think I went with Hall from BYU. I'm going to pull up my price picks. And then I kind of picked two players, and I picked them both to go over. But I've got to be honest with you, Joe. I haven't been doing great with my price picks. So I got, is it Dalen Hall? So I did like the points, assists, rebounds. I had him going over 17.5 total. And then Caleb Love for Arizona, I had him going over 25.5 points, assists, rebounds.
That's not a bad pick.
That's where I'm going. That's what I got.
Those are Matt's picks. Go make y'all's picks.
Yeah, go make your picks. Don't listen to me ever when it comes to picking or gambling or anything like that, because I am, as been well established on this podcast, an idiot. So
just do actually listen to Matt and then do whatever he does.
Yeah, just do the opposite of whatever I do, because that'll probably do pretty well for you.
Now, Matt.
Yes.
We both watched the we're going to get into the cool stuff now.
Yeah.
We both watched the Acolyte trailer before recording. What'd you think?
It looked good. Good trailer. I like the, it kind of like set the tone, I think, of what you're going to get with that show, which is going to be a little bit more of a darker tone.
Yeah, give
which,
the people a breakdown. What is the Acolyte?
So Acolyte is basically set during And we hashed all this out before the show. During the end, or the tail end of the High Republic era, and someone is, if you watch the, this is all in the trailer, so it's not a spoiler. Someone is killing Jedi. So they're kind of like going to try to hunt down, figure out what's going on, the Jedi. This is like the pinnacle of like Jedi. Like, they walk around openly as Jedi. It's a different era than what we're used to in our normal Skywalker saga of Star Wars episodes. So yeah. And so it's, so a lot of Jedi, a lot of lightsaber play looked like, so it's going to be cool. I mean, I think a lot of people are waiting to see this. Everyone loves the Jedi. Everyone loves lightsaber. So it's going to be, it's going to look cool, I think. And, so the interesting thing about this show, did you watch Russian Doll at all?
I did not.
So very popular show. So this was the showrunner for Acolyte is the showrunner for Russian Doll. So it's going to have probably a different tone for sure, a darker tone than what you're accustomed to with either the Skywalker saga or the Filoniverse stuff that we've seen recently.
Who does the show star, Matt? Did you notice that in the trailer?
Yes. So Carrie Ann Moss stars in it. One of Matrix, you know, Trinity from the Matrix. And I like the choreography. The little snippet that you see of like the fighting looked good. I liked it.
I like what I saw in the trailer that I like the most is there's force fighting, you know, where they're like,
yes,
they're like while they're fighting each other, they're using the force on each other. And that's like a thing that is constantly easy to.
That was my in Star favorite. Wars. That's my favorite stuff that like they did in like Obi-Wan was when Darth Vader was just like didn't have his lightsabers, like just force fighting with.
Yes.
And with the person, I forgot her name, but the Inquisitor person.
Oh, dude, when he just like stops her.
When he just stops her and is like moving, it's like he's, ugh, it's so good, yeah. So yeah, I love force fighting. It's great stuff.
I think it's safe to say that no matter what's going on, you and I won't be missing episodes of The Acolyte when it comes out.
No. No. I am, it's like June 4th, I believe, something like that.
I think you're correct, yeah.
So I am, yeah, I'm dialed in to The Acolyte.
Besides The Acolyte trailer, anything else that you've been consuming lately?
Okay, so this is going to take
a dark... I know you had a busy weekend, so...
It's going to take, yeah, a busy weekend, but this is going to take a dark turn. So I watched a documentary called Quiet on the Set about, like, a Nickelodeon from, like, the...
I've been seeing the mini articles 90s and commentary on this. Yes.
And early 2000s, I guess, which I guess is probably your kind of era of like children's TV.
Yeah.
I was already
mid-90s,
like,
mid-90s.
I was already like, okay. So like around this time, I was already late teens, early 20s, wasn't watching Nickelodeon. So I wasn't in on any of these shows. Now, having children, they have watched reruns of like Drake and Josh and iCarly, all that stuff. So
yeah, I haven't seen any of that stuff.
I'm familiar with it just from my own children growing up and watching like syndicated or reruns on Nickelodeon.
I watched like Hey Dude and like Clarissa Explains It All.
Yeah. So this is after that. Like this is like Amanda Bynes, The Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, stuff like that. iCarly's. Ariana Grande show called like Sam and Cat, I guess. So yeah. Anyway, I watched that documentary. Super disturbing. Very wildly inappropriate things going on the set of children's shows with child actors. So yeah, wasn't fun, but it was interesting to like to watch for sure. So yeah, I watched that. It's so just forewarned, if you are going to watch that, it is very disturbing. So if you're bothered by like SA stuff, don't watch it. But I did. And you get a different kind of feel for like, it's kind of one of those things like whenever you watch it and you're like, oh yeah, like I would never do that to my child. I would never put them in that position. But I really don't want to judge other parents, but yeah. But other than that,
I don't
that's
think I'd
pretty
ever
much
be like, Teddy, do you want to be a child actor?
Yeah.
that can do that.
It's not something I would do or did do or would ever push, but it happens. But at any rate, I watched that over the, it was like a, it was on like Max, because I guess they're all intertwined now with like Discovery and Investigation Discovery and all that stuff. But so yeah, so it was, I watched it on that. It was like a two part or no, two night thing with like four parts. But other than that, that's all I've been watching. That's all I watched.
Yeah, I have one episode of Shogun to watch. I have not started part two of season two of Invincible yet. I'm gonna wait until a couple more episodes come out before I start it because there's, it's so short that it's like, the episodes are like less than 30 minutes. So I want more than one episode at a time of that. And you know what else, Matt? You know what I've been craving?
What's that?
I can't wait to finally come back. And now that like the writer strike's over, it's like actually starting to come back or starting to be made is Stranger Things. I need some Stranger Things, man.
Strange Things is weird to me just because it's been so long. They're so much more grown. Like, I want to say the children are, when it comes out, they're probably going to be like 25 years old.
Well, they're making it right now. I think it comes out next year.
And they're like 21. So
But yeah, I am I just I want to see how this ends. I need some
I want to see how it
closure on that
ends. I
story.
need closure. I'm a big Stranger Things fan. I've seen all the seasons.
Yeah, I don't know why
My
Stranger
kids
Things has not left my mind in a few weeks.
are big Stranger Things fans, so like yeah, it'll be something we definitely watch when it does come out. There's nothing, I mean.
I still need to go see Dune 2, but
Oh, I know what I'm
now that
gonna
Rodeo is
watch.
over, maybe I
I'm gonna
can.
watch, yeah, go see Dune 2 for sure. I'm gonna watch Roadhouse on Prime this weekend, I think. It comes out on the 21st.
I have no desire to watch it,
With
but I
like
probably,
Jake, I
I
don't
may
know
end up
why.
watching it like on a
I think it's
drunken
because I've seen
Sunday.
like the ads so much. It's like, you know what? It's on Prime. It's not gonna cost me
I just have
anything.
no
I'm gonna
desire
just
to see
watch it.
Conor McGregor as an actor.
Well, true. But I'm still gonna watch it. I don't know why. It's one of those things like, sure. It doesn't cost me anything extra. I'm gonna sit in my living room and watch Roadhouse remake.
Roadhouse.
In between basketball, of course. Because my primary focus is basketball this weekend. Like that's a given.
Yeah, that's the important thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely the important thing. But that is really the only thing I am looking forward to whenever Deadpool 2 comes out. That's probably the next big movie I'm looking forward to. Or
Yeah,
not
it's
Deadpool.
gonna
I shouldn't say Deadpool 2. Deadpool and Wolverine. It's actually
be Deadpool
Deadpool
and the Wolverine.
3, but Deadpool and Wolverine's a title. But yeah, that's the next like big movie after Dune that I'm looking forward to. That's why I save up those like Cinemark credits to go to free movies.
Good old, I have those too.
Good old Cinemark movie club member, so.
Same. Just pay
So,
for your movies ahead
I
of
think
time
I have
essentially.
like I have 5 credits right now.
Oh, I think I've got like 11.
Because I don't go to movies that often. But like when I do, I normally take my kids, so I use like 3 off the top.
Yeah, Kelly and I go together and I use two at a time,
Yeah,
so.
so it's like I think I used one because I went to Dune by myself. So I went to saw Dune, but like I still have like 5 credits because I had so many points that I got another credit.
Oh.
Because I do the oh, use my member club for snacks
Oh,
also.
you
So
have to. You get like
have
20%
to.
off.
You get 20% off and you get points for purchasing. So I was like,
Yeah, it's like it's so much cheaper to have
so
that.
yeah, you get
So
300 points, you get like a free movie ticket. So I do that all the time. I raise up to 300 points and then just cash it in for a movie ticket. So on top of my free monthly movie ticket. So yeah.
yeah.
Oh, for sure. So
All
yeah,
right, Matt.
I think that's the next movie. I'm pretty sure like that I'm gonna go to in a theater.
Oh, for sure. That didn't do too for me. So, Matt, where can the people find you and where can they find the podcast?
Find me on X, Twitter. At Matt underscore Workman and find the podcast at The Bearden Pod. And on the website, thebrandonpod.com, which I think something's coming out. I posted something today that's scheduled for tomorrow, just kind of like a very basic primer of their matchup, Baylor's matchup against Colgate.
Perfect. And then we will have news as well of upcoming special edition.
Yes. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled on the Twitter feed for both the podcast and our personal Twitter feeds. And in that mindset, where can people find you, Joe?
You can find me on Twitter at @_Joe_Goodman. You can also find me on rdailybears.com, in the rdailybears Discord, or in the 1012 Discord that is a part of Wide Right Naughty Light.
If you join that Discord, you can – there's I think we're doing a tournament pick'em thing challenge on the Wide Right Naughty Light Discord. They have one they just posted. I don't know.
There's also an ODB one.
There's an ODB one. Okay, good. So, yeah, I'm going to join the ODB one. I haven't seen it yet, but for sure, jump in and get involved in that.
Yep, absolutely. Matt, we got some basketball to watch this week.
Absolutely. It's already started. You know, the first four is going on right now, or at least the first two games of the first four. And I mentioned, like, Wagner beat Howard. I think Colorado State and Virginia are playing right now. So, yeah, tournament started. First four is going on. They'll be going on tomorrow. And then Thursday, we got the first round starting. So, yeah, jump on in.
Excellent. Matt, as always.
Until next time, Joe. Second Bears.
Sports Social Podcast Network.